Well, good morning again, everybody. Wonderful to be here with you today. Has anybody here ever listened to a podcast before? Do you know what a podcast is? I mean, if you don't know what a podcast is, it's basically a radio show that you can download onto your phone and listen to whenever you want to listen to it. And so I'm a big fan of podcasts. If I'm out walking or if I'm out riding my bike, chances are I'm listening to a podcast. If I've got to drive any kind of distance, I'm going to be listening to a podcast. And the type of podcast I listen to are incredibly varied. I listen to anything and everything. You know, sometimes these podcasts get put out once a week. Sometimes it's once a month. A funny one I listened to fairly recently was a podcast called Broomgate. And it was a six-week episode of the unbelievable, never-told-before scandal that rocked the sport of curling.
Don't mock curling.
Yes, I said curling, right? It was so well done, and it was so good, it had me hooked. And I listened to all six episodes, and I kind of miss it. But, so I listened to the podcasts that really interested me. You know, I listen to podcasts on hiking, on biking. I do listen to humor podcasts. Not that they help, but I do listen to them. But I listen to a lot of church stuff, you know, church life, church leadership type podcasts. On a recent podcast that I've listened to for years, a podcast by the name of Criminal, I heard the culmination of an incredible story about a man whose name is Travell Coleman. And so a couple of you have asked me, like, what's a Travell or who's Travell? I'm going to tell you Travell's story this morning. Travell grew up in East Harlem and did not have the greatest of upbringings and got involved in the wrong kinds of activities. When he was just 18 years old, he attempted to rob a man. And this mugging didn't go as planned, and in his haste to escape, he fired off three shots. He didn't know if his bullets hit anything or anyone. He simply wanted to get away, and he did. And he said that he lived in fear of getting caught. But the police never came to talk to this man. He was never a suspect. He was never questioned. And he never heard what had happened on this night. And so time passed, and Travell simply got on with his life. You know, when I was in college, I eventually became a criminology major, right? I had originally planned on doing something else, but criminology had drawn me in because I wanted to do something that would be helpful to people. And I have to admit, you know, the Travell Coleman story is a three-part series on Criminal. When I first heard the story of Travell, my first thought was one of justice, right? This guy did something wrong, and he needed to be punished. You know, don't commit the crime if you can't do the time. I was, and I still am, a big believer in right and wrong. And I want people to face consequences. I mean, until that person is me. You know, we just celebrated Easter 2 weeks ago, and we said to one another very boldly, very proudly, right? He is risen, you guys would respond back with.
He is risen.
Thank you. We sang songs of resurrection and songs of hope. But do we remember what happened on Friday? Right, Jesus died a criminal's death on the cross. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says this. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And we hear that, and we might want to, you know, we're tempted to raise our hand, and especially in the context of what we're talking about this morning, we say, I'm not that bad, I'm not Travel bad, right? But the Bible reminds us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And Jesus didn't deserve to die on Good Friday. Jesus was sinless, and it was our sins that Jesus died for. Jesus didn't die because he deserved it. Jesus died because we deserved it. And we may not be Travel bad, but I am Chris bad. And every single one of us is bad. We've all sinned. We have all broken God's law. But like Travel, right, we don't always experience the punishment we deserve when we sin, and so we think that we get away with it. You know, in the years following the shooting, Travel wound up having 3 children. He had a prolific rapping career. He had recording contracts. He even made music with P. Diddy, released his own albums, and helped popularize a song called Harlem Shake. But gradually, guilt overtook his success. He had turned to drugs. He lost his recording contract. He couldn't forget that night. And again, remember, he was never questioned about it. He was never a suspect in that crime. And so he never knew the name of the person he had encountered that night or what happened to him. So after 17 years, Travel walked into a police station and confessed. At first, the detectives were skeptical, right? Who is this guy? What's his angle? I mean, they're like, who are you? They didn't know who he was. He didn't have that kind of record. What was he trying to get away with? Eventually, they found the cold case file, and they discovered that the man Travel had encountered that name was a guy by the name of John Hankel. And John Hankel was killed that night. So Travel was arrested. He went to trial, and he pled guilty. The judge at Coleman's sentencing acknowledged that his confessing was the right thing to do. And even the prosecutor displayed an unusual amount of sympathy and remarked upon the great disparity of the crime itself and the person who had committed it. But Travel was clearly guilty. He was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 15 years to life. The verdict was read out, and he was led away in handcuffs. Justice. Or is it freedom? I can't imagine how difficult it must have been to walk into that police station, confess to a crime that you're not a suspect in, knowing what could happen that next moment. But something inside Travel prompted him. He knew he had to confess. You know, sometimes I think we approach confession in a similar way. Right? It's something that we know we should do, but we're afraid of what we might hear. What if we hear disapproval or worse? What if we hear 15 years to life? What if we hear death? You know, this summer's preaching series is going to be on the life of David, and David's life is a fascinating character in Scripture. And it is said, God says that David is a man after his own heart. And yet David was flawed and sinful, just like every one of us. One of David's psalms, Psalm 32, is read every year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's believed that David wrote this after his sin with Uriah and Bathsheba, after the confrontation he had with the prophet Nathan. Psalm 32:5 reads this: "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All of my guilt is gone." You know, David would be able to understand exactly what Travell was feeling. Right? All of the running, all of this energy expended, trying, making sure that nobody would find out his sin. Finally, David says, "I confessed. I confessed my rebellion against the Lord, and all of the guilt was gone." 1,000 years later, John would reference Psalm 32 when he wrote 1 John. "If we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our wickedness." Did you hear that word, if? Right, John is telling us that there is a choice to be made. Right? Do we continue to claim our innocence? Or can we admit we've sinned? On one hand, right, we may continue to look good to others. Right? I don't sin. I have it all together. But God knows, God sees, and because God loves us, he allows us to make our own decisions. He allows us to delude ourselves if that's our choice. And he will allow us to ultimately pay the penalty for our sins ourselves. Right? Sin has its consequences. Travell went to jail. David lost a son. We may not see it immediately, but there is always consequence to sin. You know, Paul tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That what we earn, what we get, what we've worked for because we sin is death. And if you remember the passage I shared earlier from Romans 3:23, we all have sinned. And so that puts us in a very uncomfortable place, doesn't it? Or we can simply confess our sins to him. We can acknowledge to God, I have done wrong. And when we do that, God shows up. And we can be freed not just from the stain of sin, but from the punishment of sin. Right, the fullness of Romans 6:23 says this: "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, 1 John uses this word cleanse, and Kelly, I like your children's message this morning, you know, that image of muddy footprints through the house. I think you really downplayed how mad moms get with the muddy footprints through the house. Right? But that word cleanse would be the wiping away of all of the footprints, all of the reminder. I mean, the word itself means to clean, or to free from filth. Right? What was once a dirty rag has now become your finest garment. And that's the invitation this morning. For each one of you to say, I am Travell. I am a sinful person. I have made mistakes. I have rebelled against God. And it can take courage to admit that you've sinned. It takes courage to admit that we can't be good or righteous on our own. But again, we need to remember what happens the moment we cry out to God. The moment we cry out and we acknowledge our sin, right? God shows up and our sins are forgiven. You are made clean. And it's not just a surface type of cleaning up, but a deep clean. The stain of sin can be removed. Brothers and sisters, hear the invitation to the table this morning. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace and love one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and before one another. And as we see this up here, This is our classic liturgy. You know, merciful God, we confess. I'd like to invite you to say, I confess. Let's own our confession this morning. Merciful God, I confess that I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have failed to be an obedient church. I have not done your will. I have broken your law. I have rebelled against your love. I have not loved my neighbors, and I have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive me, I pray. Free me for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Church, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I say to you that you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Amen. Church, Travell's sentence was commuted in 2023, making him eligible for parole, and he was released from prison in April of 2024. But he still has a record. He's a convicted criminal. That's where our stories diverge. Right? When we confess our sins, it's as if we've never sinned before. Justification by faith, right? Just as if I had never sinned. My sin, our sin, is placed on Jesus's account. And we become sinless in the eyes of our Lord. Confess. Receive the gift. Be truly free. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for this great love that you have shown us. Lord, this gift of confession, this gift of releasing ourselves of guilt and shame, because our Heavenly Father loves us, because our Heavenly Father invites us to do exactly that. Lord Jesus, thank you for this gift. Thank you for paying our penalty. Thank you for being our Savior. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless the church.